Welcome to Purple Politics Nevada. I'm your host, Lucia Starbuck. The name refers to the fact that the state isn't red or blue, it's both. Today, we're talking about what matters most to Native voters. I spoke to Indigenous community members from several different tribes, traveled to a reservation outside of Reno, and attended a powwow to get their thoughts. June marks 100 years since Indigenous people were granted citizenship, and with that, the right to vote in the United States. But the right to vote wasn't fully expanded in every state until the 1960s. And voting is something Elvita Martinez, a member of the Walker River Paiute tribe, takes very seriously. She describes herself as a tribal activist. Thank you so much for joining me, Elvita. So first, tell me about the Walker River Paiute Tribe's efforts to increase access to the polls for Native voters.
We've always had a precinct location here on our reservation. I'm 65, but I've been voting here since I was 18. In 2016, we filed a lawsuit with Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe to request on our reservation early voting. Pyramid Lake was different. They asked for a polling location. So we won that lawsuit against the Secretary of State and Mineral County at that time. If people wanted to early vote previous to us winning that lawsuit, they would have to travel down to Hawthorne.
And why was it important to have access to early voting on the reservation?
Because it makes it easier. It gives people more options. When President Obama ran for president the first round, you know, it was a big presidential voting year at that time. What we saw were that some of the people didn't get to vote because they might have had a medical appointment out of town, or they were working and they just couldn't get back in time. So the early voting option actually gave everybody a lot more options to physically vote. It was a little longer job for our poll workers, you know, instead of being one day, we can hire people for 2 weeks. For our local people, or even like for our elders, we have different programs that can transport them there. Or, for example, now we have the Dropbox. We have all of these options.
What does it mean to be a Native voter today?
Oh, it's great. Some of these political people hate it. During one of the Trump years when he didn't win Nevada, we're a battleground state. So then he went after a lot of Natives, filed a lawsuit here in Nevada to go against some of our Native voting groups, our tribal members from the different reservations. That scared people. They couldn't afford an attorney to fight a lawsuit. It made us look bad, like we're doing whatever we can to get more people to vote, and then you have somebody coming and throwing a lawsuit at you. I'm always talking all tough. My thing is, that's more of a reason for us to vote, because there's people still here today that don't want us to vote.
Are there other challenges or goals you want to see achieved to further increase access to the polls?
We need to educate our people more just on the overall process. There's some of us here from our reservation that have become really involved with the state legislature, getting past what we call tribal impact bills. They're going to be good for the tribes all across the state. So we're always trying to say, this is the first step in the process, is to be a voter. And after that, you can be a speaker and you can comment on these bills that are being presented. One of the big bills that we had passed was for Native students in the state of Nevada to get free tuition to attend any of the colleges or universities in the state of Nevada.
What are some issues you see on the Walker River Paiute Tribe Reservation that you'd want to see be addressed by federal and state lawmakers?
We have a school on our reservation that's a county school. It's pretty old now. We just need some repairs. I don't have any children, but I have my little nieces that go to school up there, and I'm like, why can't they have a good school? Why come they don't have a good playground? So once Hawaii gets their school, we're hoping that this is going to continue, this pot of money. I think we should all get in line. We want a piece of the pie. In order to do that, we have to be at that state legislative building. We need to have people that are going to represent us and work with us.
Any other issues important to you this election?
I'm a little disappointed, I guess, in our candidates, even on the Democratic side. It doesn't matter who won. If they won last round, you have to make sure they run again until their two terms are up. You have one person that's been impeached how many times, filed a lawsuit against our Native people. You have another person that's old. At least he's not mean. Who do you want running the show? There's a lot of good people with a lot of good resumes out there, and they don't have a chance at this job of president. So politics at its best, and it's never the best.
What advice do you have for Nevada tribes who are new to getting a polling place or who are looking for ways to increase access to the ballot box? What would you like to tell them?
I want all of the tribes in Nevada to take all the opportunities you can. Take all the days for early voting, all the dates and times. Tell your county clerk, I want all of them. It provides access to your people, plus it provides a little job for your local poll workers.
Kelly Carter is one of the four Walker River Paiute tribal poll workers. She's worked elections since 2020 after her daughter encouraged her to. Thanks so much for joining me, Kelly. What were your thoughts when your daughter initially asked you to be a poll worker with her?
I thought it was cool. When I lived in Sacramento growing up, me and my friends, we were old enough to vote. We were 18, and my grandmother used to tell us, don't you come back here unless you have your voting sticker. She like drilled it into me and my friends, but it makes a difference. I mean, I've seen people lose elections, tribal elections here by like 3 votes.
What kind of difference does it make for there to be a tribal poll worker at the reservation's voting site?
People are more willing to talk to us because they're familiar with us. And it's right here. We don't have to travel 34 miles to go vote.
Do you feel heard as a Native voter?
The last election, I think so. There's more Natives that got voted into Congress, especially women. And it's like having a little snowball effect there.
Why is the Native vote important?
Awareness. We don't want to die off and be extinct. Awareness was like, we're still here.
But not everyone is convinced that voting is the most effective way to go. I met Josh Deeney at the Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe Reservation. He and his horse, Black Beauty, just returned from an 11-day ride throughout northern Nevada communities heavily impacted by mining. Starting in Schurz, making stops along the way, and ending at Behemoth, or Thacker Pass, where a controversial lithium mine is being constructed and opposed by environmentalists and Nevada tribes due to cultural, historical, and spiritual reasons. Thank you so much for joining me and speaking with me, Josh. So you just went on the 3rd annual prayer horse ride. What do you hope to bring awareness of?
The effects of mining. We're one of the states that they're looking at to do the most mining. Up north, we have McDermott and Owyhee, where they're wanting to do lithium mining. Down here where I'm at, Walker River, Yarrington, and Washoe tribes, we're facing copper mining. The effects for us is really the contamination of the water. We are the tail end of the waterway. Walker Lake is the sink. We already have no trout there. My tribe, we're known as a Guide Dakota trout eater. Now who are we? We can't eat our medicine food, our traditional food. We're trying to figure out how can we stand together. Well, one way is to revitalize our way of life, our language, our culture.
What inspired the ride?
We got the inspiration from Dakota 38, which was 38 Dakotas that were hung. My brother Myron Dewey and I would talk about how we should bring horses back to the youth, reconnection for healing. 2021 September, my brother was killed in a head-on car accident. Instead of doing nothing about it, I need to step up and continue the work that we talked about and share the legacy that my brother did as a journalist, a filmmaker, and water protector.
What do you hope lawmakers can take away from the prayer horse ride?
Well, what I'd like to see is for them to come be a part of this prayer horse ride, see what we're praying about, seeing that we're not out here being crybabies or trying to raise heck. That we are looking at the 7th generation. What's it going to look like for our kids' future? How are they going to live? Like Yarrington, they have to bring in bottled water because the water is so bad. And I want the lawmakers to see that and say, okay, let's make a law that's going to protect the tribes so that they can start getting funding. Maybe we'll get them land somewhere where it's not going to be affected by the mining.
Will you be voting in November or the primary in June?
It's a tough one. I feel as an individual, my vote don't really count. I think if we voted as a whole, would be more efficient.
Do you think you'll ever vote again?
I don't know. Because as long as we're not seen as equal, it's hard for me to vote.
Is there anything candidates can do to earn your vote?
Come out with us to Pahima, to Thacker, to Hud Bay. Come to the reservations and let us share our story for them to listen and understand the land that they're on, and to make better sound decisions of what they're running for.
You just heard from Josh Deeney, Kelly Carter, and Elvita Martinez, members of the Walker River Paiute Tribe, about why they are and aren't voting. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you're listening to Purple Politics Nevada. Despite there being 28 tribes in Nevada, a swing state, many Indigenous people told me they don't feel heard by candidates and lawmakers. Stephen Wadsworth, the new Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe chair, voted for president for the first time in 2020. But now when it comes to the issues, he's not sure who's listening. Thank you so much for joining me, Chair Wadsworth. So this year is a presidential election. How important is the Indigenous vote?
I think we've seen 4 years ago in the last presidential election, there was media all over, especially when it came to the larger reservations like the Navajo. We're up and coming, I guess, you know, for the First Nations people to be the minority, kind of a crazy statistic to think about, but we are up and coming and our voice is getting out there. Of course, you see like Secretary Deb Haaland. It's just we're here and we're not going anywhere and we're only getting stronger.
What brought you out as a voter?
Personally, I didn't like what was happening in the current administration with all the misinformation about COVID. I just didn't feel that that administration was doing it properly. You know, they didn't take it seriously enough. I know we did here. I was a senior center director for 3 years, and that's big on any Native reservation. You know, we try to protect our elders. It just didn't seem serious enough to that administration.
What are your tribal community members saying about the upcoming election?
I'm not hearing much. We just had a campaign event for Senator Rosen. That was at the Reno Sparks Indian Colony. I haven't seen any election media. I haven't seen any advertisements for either party. It's kind of weird, especially since we're getting closer and closer.
Do you think Native voters feel heard?
Right now, in my opinion, probably not, because a lot of what happens in my experience on this reservation is it doesn't matter like who's in charge. Conditions never really improve or get worse. And that speaks to the resiliency because, you know, if one party's in there, maybe they cut programs. If another party's in there, maybe they give them a little bit more money. But when it comes down to it, if it's cut, we do what we can to keep services the same and still try to improve.
Are there issues you see on the reservation that you would like federal lawmakers to address?
Oh man, you name it. Our big thing for Pyramid Lake, our bread and butter, is the water. And that has to do with the entire watershed from Lake Tahoe all the way here at Pyramid Lake, which is connected through the Truckee River. And as Reno keeps getting bigger and expanding, it's a problem. There is not enough resources for all these people to keep moving here. And all we got to do is take a look at the Southwest, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and all the water problems they have. We do not want to see that here. Big problem that we have is aircraft through the military. Feels like we get the runaround because various chairmen, at least three chairmen before myself, have tried to deal with this problem. And that would be the aircraft flying very low through our communities. It's just absolutely disturbing, you know, rattle the windows, disturb wildlife and the people that have cattle through there. Nobody wants to say it's us and that we'll stop it. The big thing right now is going to be the mining. Being somebody from this area, it just absolutely decimates the land. It's just so rough, especially right when you're in that transition away from the fossil fuels. Personally, not the tribe's views, I understand why they need to do it. I have an electric car. I know my battery wasn't mined in Nevada, but it was mined somewhere.
So you voted for the first time in 2020. Are you going to stay a voter?
Yes. With my reservations for the Electoral College, being the mess that it is, I really encourage local elections where it still matters because that is truly where every vote does count.
How can candidates earn your vote?
I think if they know the history of the area. I hate to use this term. You see it a lot out there and they're like, oh, I'm fifth generation Nevada. For Native people, it's like, oh, big whoop. When you've been around here and you know the areas, because it's not just Reno Sparks, it's not just Vegas. Everything in between is really what makes up Nevada. I don't mean population-wise, I just mean the breadth of it. You should know, you know, that's what these little tribes, these little towns, that's what they fight to keep.
If candidates were listening to this show, what would you want to say to them?
I guess the recurring theme is do better. That's across the board. If you're in the center, left or right, you can do better. Nothing's blown me away. Granted, I haven't voted except for 2020, but have they given me reason? I know you can't please everybody all the time, but as an elected official myself, you do have to try.
Another issue facing tribal communities is high rates of violence, abductions, and murders of Indigenous people, particularly women. Last month, the sound of drums filled the Boys and Girls Club gymnasium in Old Southwest Reno as jingle dancers in colorful regalia and beaded jewelry danced across the floor at the Red Dress Powwow. Autumn Harry, a member of the Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe and a fisherwoman and guide, co-organized the event to increase awareness about missing and murdered Indigenous people, raise money for impacted families, and bring people together to heal. Thank you so much for joining me, Autumn. What do you hope the public and maybe lawmakers can take away from the event?
I think that from some elected officials within the state of Nevada, there has been some emphasis on this crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous peoples. There are things within federal and state legislature, and there's different bills that are being proposed, but I haven't seen any type of action being taken. And what I mean by that is within Nevada, there's a lot of extraction projects that are being proposed, whether it's in regards to lithium, gold mining, or increased land development. I'm seeing like a direct correlation with this violence to the land and also violence to our communities. If there's elected officials who say that they're in support of stopping the violence against Indigenous communities, but then they're kind of creating pathways for these larger mining companies to come in and extract, then I think that those two things don't align with each other.
So you're saying, you know, lawmakers or elected officials can't be pro-addressing the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people and pro-mining, for example.
Exactly. I think about the land that's going to be bulldozed over and the water that's going to be utilized to support a mine and the perpetual pollution that comes along with it. A lot of the work that we're doing when it comes to missing murdered Indigenous peoples is ensuring that there are no man camps that are going to be developed within the state of Nevada, within any of our Indigenous communities. They develop these really large living situations to support these workers. When you look at the geography of where these man camps are, they're in really close proximity to Indigenous communities. That's a big concern of ours because we've seen, especially in other states, there is a lot of increased violence.
What can lawmakers do better?
I think what I'm realizing is that there are limitations within what the federal government and state governments can do to protect people. When I think of our Indigenous communities, we're still heavily impacted by settler colonialism. Our tribal communities, especially here in Nevada, are living on such smaller land bases within our reservations, even though we know all of this is Indigenous land within the Great Basin everywhere. Our voices aren't considered when lawmakers or elected officials are making decisions on our behalf.
This year is a presidential election. Will you be voting?
As a Native person, I have voted in the past. It's April, and I am definitely still on the fence about how I will participate in the voting process this year. I'm not satisfied with how elected officials, in my opinion, they're not listening to their constituents. I'm not really happy with how that's been going.
What has contributed to you voting or not voting in the past? What pushes you in either direction?
No matter what, our Native communities are going to feel the impacts. And whoever's elected, we're going to have that trickle effect down into our Native communities. And so I've always thought it was important to try to vote for people who are going to care and who say that they're in support of our communities. That's what I've done in the past. But it's already been almost 4 years since the last election cycle. And I'm very disappointed in elected officials who have said that they're committed to Indigenous communities and the protection of our communities and haven't delivered.
Why are you feeling reluctant this election?
For me, the reluctancy is really stemming from what is happening in Palestine. I don't know how people can see the videos of what's coming from Palestine and to see Palestinians, the violence that is being inflicted upon their people, the children, and to see the desecration of the areas that they call home. So for me to see that Biden, Senator Cortez Masto, and Jackie Rosen, none of them have called for a ceasefire because of that, I really don't see myself being able to support any of those candidates. I see them as participating in this violence, and that is something that I am completely against.
Do you feel like you were more passionate about voting when you were younger?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was even when I turned 18 and voting, and I knew that it was a privilege to be able to vote. Now it's 2024. I'm just not seeing a lot of change happening. yes, of course, there's positive things happening within our Native communities. That's coming from us. I'm just not really seeing a lot of support from local, federal, state governments. We can't really be reliant on that support from them. I give so much credit to my fellow community members at Pyramid Lake and all of our past leaders, because we have this beautiful lake that has been protected for thousands of years. We have these really amazing, resilient fish species. A lot of work went into that protection. I just want to be a part of this younger generation that also helps to protect those things. Regardless of who gets elected in 2024, we're going to continue doing that work.
She's not the only reluctant voter. Twins Dwight and Everett George, members of the Fallon Paiute Shoshone tribe, also see direct community actions as more effective than voting. Everett works at a shelter for Native youth, and Dwight just became a father. Dwight and Everett, thank you so much for joining me. Do you guys think that there are other or better ways to support community to uplift vulnerable community members besides voting? Dwight, what do you think?
As long as you have a community that supports itself and actually cares about its people, you're going to get more results than someone that says that, well, we need to pass this bill in order to care for you. Ever since this country started with Indigenous people specifically, we have always had to take care of ourselves. And that is directly going against the government. And specifically looking at Reno, where I live at, there is a huge problem with housing. Capitalism doesn't work. In order for billionaires or any kind of huge corporation to work, there is exploitation. I do vote only because I don't want the people that believe in that system to exploit it, but it isn't the only thing that I do. It isn't the only thing that I believe should be done because it isn't perfect. It should not be completely relied on. If you are going to vote or you want to see how someone promised you these things is doing, you just have to look at your life. How are you doing? Are things better for you?
Everett, what are your thoughts on this?
It's very hard not to be totally cynical about the idea of voting for this government that never seemed like it was ours. As soon as people got here, we got our legs cut out from under us. Voting isn't gonna stop the bleeding, but it is a little bit of pressure, pushing things towards maybe having some good happen as opposed to just completely ignoring the possibility of it. But when I do it, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for everybody else that needs it. The other America that isn't specifically Indigenous. People that have it hard enough, made to feel bad just because they're poor or they're a different orientation or a different skin color. You got to do all that you can for them because they're the allies that we have.
Is there anything lawmakers, politicians, candidates can do better to support the community they represent?
They can acknowledge them a lot more. Even specifically in the local government, there's always this sense that I heard you and that's it, but you didn't listen. There's a running joke where any kind of electoral poll where it talks about what various minorities have voted, we're not on there, or were an other. That's such a weird thing to think, because we're not anywhere else. This is our country, this is where we're from, and we're not even considered as a voice. It speaks to the whole voting, not just for yourself, I'm voting for the other people that are in there with us. They're my electoral kin.
Dwight, you're trying to find a home for you and your family. Rent is really high here. You guys have advocated for people experiencing homelessness. Is there anything lawmakers can do to address housing in this community?
Yeah, they can start by not giving these big corporations so much power. There are too many corporations buying buildings and renovating them, saying they're brand new and charging so much that people can't even live in them. Definitely things like rent control that need to happen. I don't really know anybody that lives alone. And two, I don't know really anybody that can afford to lose even two paychecks without completely losing everything. From the city to the president, you are a civil servant to help people, and that should be your only concern.
Does what's happening to Palestine make it difficult to cast your ballot for Joe Biden?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. It makes it nearly impossible.
When you're counting tens of thousands of people getting killed, it shouldn't add up at all politically or morally or any kind of way. Yet it is something that Biden has supported by being cowardly about stopping it. It's, well, if I support someone that says they want to kill people, which is Trump, or I support Biden, who is letting people get killed, which is better. It just goes to show why there's such unenthusiasm and such non-commitment now to voting and to American democracy in general, because it doesn't show enough to care.
Is there anything candidates can do between now and November to earn your trust?
The wild thing about that is that I don't think that they even care. Well, you got me or the other guy. That is an incredibly depressing platform.
Yeah, again, it's always the same thing. They can just listen more, which is exhausting to say because it's so apparent. It's like saying, hey, you know, in order to win, you should keep breathing.
It's, I mean, yeah, the it's the
same
wild
thing over and over again.
It's wild to have to keep saying that they need to listen more because that just proves that they don't.
You both seem extremely disappointed, frustrated. I'm sure there's stronger words for the current administration. Dwight, you mentioned you're still going to vote. Mm-hmm. What's bringing you to the ballot box?
I am voting because if I do not push back against the things that I believe are harmful and let them happen, I do believe that I will feel a responsibility for that. I'm not saying that it is inevitable that if I do vote, it will go my way, but I am saying that at least I am pushing back against it going towards the way that will hurt or even get people killed. To me, voting is not the answer. It is just a choice.
Everett, will you be voting?
I will be voting. I have an obligation to do it for the people other than myself. We all have that obligation to make sure that things don't get worse. That is a way to do your best and make an effort towards stopping that bad.
That was Dwight and Everett George, twins and members of the Fallon Paiute Shoshone tribe. Earlier, you heard from Autumn Harry and Chair Stephen Wadsworth of the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe, along with Elvita Martinez, Kelly Carter, and Josh Deeney of the Walker River Paiute tribe. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you've been listening to Purple Politics Nevada.